not all of the requirement. That just defines the size part of yard definition. You got to come back to the root word yard. And yard says at the ground.
Okay, I understand. Any other questions for this witness? All right, sir, you may sit down and another member of your group can come on up if they wish and add to it or...
I don't really have anything to add. I just wanted to be sworn in.
Come on up.
Questions.
Come on.
Yeah, come on up.
Just hold on. Just stop. Don't state your name. I have to change my table.
Okay, yeah, hold on a second.
Okay, go ahead.
My name is Greg Lindsay. I'm sworn in as a witness. And I really don't have anything else to present.
I can't hear you.
Basically, if you have any questions, I was going to help him. I'll just reiterate what he had to say. Say thank you.
At this point, is there anybody that needs to add or wants to add anything?
No, not at this time.
I do understand I have an opportunity to rebuttal after the building inspector makes his presentation.
We'll allow you. Mr. Batson, sir.
Sir.
Come up and state your argument.
Well, I have a lot of information, and I'm going to be a lot shorter, I assure you.
I'm sorry, John.
There's a couple of things I want to point out real quick before I get started. First of all, there's some differences between the handout that Mr. Lindsay just passed out and what he submitted when he submitted his original application. And so if I don't address something that he just addressed in that handout, please tell me and I'll be more than happy to address that.
I'm sure we're both going to have a few questions.
Secondly, I have no knowledge of modern real estate practices. I'm not a realtor. I have no idea if any of that has any bearing on this subject that we're meeting about tonight at all. So, frankly, I have no idea about that. So, it's not an easy one to explain, as you can probably see, but this property address is 313 Atlantic Avenue. It is a non-conforming lot, in that it is smaller than the minimum 5,000 square feet lot size. The existing structure is non-conforming also. It doesn't meet all the setbacks. Property owners came to me and requested a permit to, you know, add a third story on the property. I studied perk ordinances inside and out, and spent a lot of time on them, and I came to the conclusion that they could be permitted to do what they had asked to do. And so if you'll pull my handout out, I'd like for y'all to follow along with me. It's some of the same information that Mr. Lindsay presented. But these are the ordinances that I use for my basis of the decision to permit this third story addition. Section 19-357, continuance of a non-conforming situation. A lawful use of a structure, land, or use of a structure and land existing at the time of the passage of this ordinance from which this section was derived may be continued, although such does not conform with the provisions of this chapter, provided that they conform to the following provisions. Minimum lot requirements. Where the owner of a lot or successor entitled thereto does not own sufficient land to enable him to conform to the area requirements of this chapter, the lot may be used as a building site, provided that the minimum back, front, and side yard requirements for the district in which the lot is located are met. Extension in the setback, and this is the big one. A structure that is not conforming as to setback requirements, but conforms to the permissible use within that district, which it does, shall not be enlarged or extended in any direction, horizontal or vertical, into the required open space of the setback area. Except for, you'll see the things noted down there before that don't specifically apply, but they define several different things that aren't part of the ordinance. And so I want to focus on that for just a second, the required open space of the setback area. Mr. Lindsay just touched on that just a minute ago about the definition of yard size and how the dimension starts at the ground. I can respect that and understand that opinion. It does start at the ground. The setback starts at the ground. And it continues up to heaven. And that is the interpretation that I've understood that the town of Curie Beach is uphill for since 1947. I learned that from the previous two building inspectors that were employed at the time that I came to work for the town. And so that was one of the main reasons that I said, all right, you know what? The existing structure doesn't meet it, but they're going to add a third story and it's going to meet the setback, so I'm not specifically worried about that at that point. The next big part of the ordinance that I used was subsection 4, and you'll see it highlighted in red there also. Extension and use. There shall, this is the ordinance section that Mr. Lindsay subdivided into three separate parts and identified. Extension and use. There shall be no extension in a non-conforming use. This is not a non-conforming use. This is a permitted use within this district. That would increase the building's occupancy, square footage, production, servicing, or utility demands, except that any structure used for a single-family residential purposes and maintained as a non-conforming use or structure may be enlarged or replaced with a similar structure of larger size, so long as the enlargement or replacement does not create new nonconformities or increase the extent of the existing conformities with respect to yard size, which at a minimum should comply with RA1A residential requirements. I don't think you can dissect that section of the ordinance. That whole thing, if you read it, man, that's a big deal right there. That is a big deal to every non-conforming property in the town of Curie Beach. The property owner wished to construct a third story on an existing two-story single-family residence. The existing structure does not meet setbacks, and so I informed them that the new third story would be required to meet the setbacks. The property owner provided me with detailed engineering drawings that showed that the new third story would be constructed so that it would meet the minimum side setbacks. And this will be verified by a North Carolina surveyor upon completion of the siding of the new third story. All right. That, in a nutshell, is how I came to my permit decision. And now I'd like to address each of the three reasons that the Lindsays have produced for the appeal to this decision. Issue number one. Mr. Lindsay has stated that since the property has not met the minimum yards requirements since or pursuant to 19-188, there should never have been issued a building permit for the existing house 24 years ago. This may be correct, but has nothing to do with the case. That house was built in 1986. I can tell you right now, I wasn't a building inspector in 1986. I don't think anybody's going to argue with me about that. But it was built in 1986, that's 24 years ago. I'm not going back 24 years and trying to do some sort of enforcement of a code that should have been enforced at the time. What reasons were there 24 years ago? I have no idea. I have no idea of finding out. We're only required to keep building records for 7 years. I don't even know that I've got a file. If I've got it, I haven't been able to find it yet. We have over 50 non-conforming properties in relation to minimum lot size in town. And actually, all three of the Lindsay's properties are non-conforming, believe it or not, in relation to yard size. Section 19-357 was put in our ordinances so that these properties would be able to be built upon with at least a single-family residence. Period. Issue number two. Mr. Lindsay insists that Article 4 Supplemental District Regulations should be applied independently as additional requirements of the RA3 residential requirements. They specifically identify section 19-321.5, prerequisite construction, demolition, remodeling, impervious surfaces, etc. His argument is that before a permit is issued, the maximum 65% impervious coverage must be met. In other words, they can't have any more than 65% coverage of their lot. And that also, there probably can't be any more than 24 feet wide from the property line to the road. I don't know how you would apply that to a house that's already existing and they're just adding on to it. In my opinion, this ordinance was created for a new structure on a lot. And I don't think it can be applied to a structure that is already there as long as it's not increasing the impervious square footage. Issue number three. In quoting section 19-357, subsection 4, continuance of a non-conforming situation, Mr. Lindy attacks the code section in three separate parts. And I guess I've already talked about this pretty much. Let me make sure I didn't leave anything out. The first statement they examined was enacted in 1973. The rest of the ordinance was just codified 3 years ago. Since there has been some changes, there have since been some changes. Prior to the latest revision in 2008, I was a major part of writing this ordinance, along with the town attorney and the Planning and Zoning Commission. I can assure you the intent of this code section is being met. The main purpose and intent of the addition of this language was to provide a means for somebody to build a house on their property, no matter how non-conforming. While yard size isn't located in the definitions in Chapter 19, you have to identify the intent of the language which references yard size. The code section states, and it's 19-357, subsection 4, I don't think you need me to read it again, unless you want me to, but I'd like to add something to that. Section 19-357 is a section in an ordinance that is clearly directed to and created for non-conforming properties. If you have a non-conforming property, code clearly says you can build a structure or add to a structure as long as the yard size regulations are met. Well, hypothetically, and actually in this case, here, if it's a non-conforming lot, we already know for a fact it doesn't meet the 5,000 square foot lot size. Okay? It may or may not meet the minimum mean lot width of 50 feet. In this case, this lot does. So the only yard size requirements that most likely will be met are the setbacks, which are 5 on the sides, 10 on the rear, 20 on the front. Did you get what I just said there? 19-357 says that it has to meet at least with the yard size regulations in RA1A. If you look at the yard size regulations, they include a minimum lot size of 5,000 square feet, a minimum lot width of 50 feet, a minimum side yard of 5 feet, a minimum rear yard of 10 feet, and a minimum rear yard or front yard of 20 feet. If it's a non-conforming lot, it's not going to meet some of those. I don't care how you look at it.
Well, this house doesn't meet any.
As I said before, we don't have a definition for yard size of ordinance. We do, however, have a definition for yard. And I just touched on this a few minutes ago about the definition of yard and how it starts unobstructed from the ground upwards. So, anyways, if you have a non-conforming property that does not meet the required 5,000 square foot minimum lot size, but does meet the minimum lot width, and the new addition will meet the minimum setbacks, where is the issue with the application of this ordinance? I have not invented new wording to make this project work. It's very simple, really. A non-conforming structure on a non-conforming lot. Code says that they can add on to the structures as long as new non-conformities aren't created. So if the new third story meets the setbacks, where are the new non-conformities? Bottom line, the property owners of 313 Atlantic Avenue could tear down this existing structure and build a brand new one if they wanted to. I couldn't stop them as long as they met the setbacks and the impervious coverage. applicant, or Lindsay's argument for this entire case is ambiguous. And in fact, implying that a non-conforming property or structure cannot be built on or cannot be added to is brazenly obvious misinterpretation of this ordinance. And that's about all I got to say.
Got a couple of questions I have. On the addition that's going up top, it's designed, and you approve the design, that's going to be brought in some to meet the setback requirements of 5 feet.
That's correct.
On the sides and the front and the back.
Yes, sir.
So it's going to have an offset.
Yes, sir.
And that area that's being added is what type of space, bedrooms or what?
I think it's a living room area up there. It's bedrooms. We keep the living room on the second floor, and third floor will be bedrooms.
And I think that I saw where it was two bedrooms, and this will make it three bedrooms total.
I think it actually makes it four bedrooms. I can't remember. It's been 2 months since I looked at the plans. May I ask a question of the audience?
Sure.
Paul, how many bedrooms is this screen?
Four main bedrooms.
Four bedrooms.
And we have parking facilities to,
yes, sir,
to accommodate that.
I did check every bit of that. It does meet the code orders.
I walked by the structure the other day, and I noticed that they were taking the concrete out of the back of the house. By taking that out, doesn't that increase the impervious part of the land?
No, that would increase the impervious.
That's what I mean. It increases the impervious.
Not the impervious.
So they're actually improving the land.
They're probably taking that concrete out in order to put the pylons in the back. As far as putting that concrete back down there, that won't be allowed unless it's covered by a roof. I mean, they're not adding to it. So, yeah.
John?
Yes, sir.
Question. Has it got a 20-foot setback in front?
It's 19.71 inches, I believe.
Okay.
Or 19.71 inches, I believe.
And 4+ something on each side?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And approximately average, maybe about 8 feet in back?
No, actually, I think the back's the only one that actually meets the setbacks as far as the main structure.
I object to that.
Should that not come close to giving you your 65% permeable land?
I'd have to work the numbers off. I mean, regardless of that fact, they've got concrete pretty much poured over the entire lot. If you'll remember the survey that Mr. Lindsay had up there and all the dark gray, that was actually concrete. But
if never mind, I don't want to get into that. So you have some minor disagreements as far as not meeting the full extent of side yards and front yards, but you do have a 20-foot setback on the front.
It's 19.71 inches.
19.7. And you're going to have enough parking space there.
Yes, sir.
John, coming on this. Illegal, non-conforming, and illegal non-conforming. Does that happen? You heard those terms before?
What are you referencing?
I'm going with Mr. Lindsay's testimony where he says there's a distinct difference between how we relate to illegal non-conforming use and legal non-conforming use.
I believe you're referencing the real estate law that he presented, yes, in his argument. Once again, I'm not familiar with that. I have my ordinances, and that's what I go by here. I'm not familiar with real estate law in the least. I know that there is, as it was discussed a little while ago, supposed to be some kind of disclosure of facts upon selling it. Like I said, I'm not a realtor. I don't know.
So, a legal comment on that. Is that something?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to think that through. I mean, you know, what crosses my mind is, you know, thinking about a scenario where a variance is required. And if it's not the one where something was illegal to begin with and has been illegal all along, I can't think of what scenario requires a variance if that doesn't. I mean, just being candid. You know, my thought is, you know, legally non-conforming is that it started out legal and became illegal because of a change. So,
it doesn't become illegal because of the change, it just becomes non-conforming.
It's non-conforming.
No,
but what you're saying is that if it was non-conforming in the first place, if it is therefore illegal.
I mean, I'm not trying to open a can of worms, but I just can't see if it never complied, how you don't need a variance in order to make it a legal non-conforming scenario.
I guess my question is, it's been there 24 years, and why today? All because of the third story, which many people encourage you to build into non-conforming structures. And they've been approved as long as they've built within the confines of the variance, the setbacks. And I don't, I'm struggling with why appeal it 24 years later.
Okay, do you have a question for John?
If it's a non-conforming lot, which we think it is, or it's considered to be, does that make it, is it out of the 65% rule at that point?
No, ma'am. It's still being held to a 65% rule at the time of a new construction.
New construction, okay.
What they have there now, I mean, that's what's there, and it's been there for 24 years at least.
So what you're saying, John, I want to clarify that the third, they're not doing anything to the first two stories. They're not widening it. They're not extending it. They're not doing anything with that.
The only thing they're doing on that existing structure is rebuilding the inside. They are not messing with the outside integrity of the structure.
Okay, and that doesn't fit into the setbacks. That's in violation of the yard size that we need, the 20 feet.
Yes, sir.
So the third story that they're wanting to put on this house, that third story is going to be within the 20 feet, the 10s.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And the 5s.
That is correct.
So that will be within the setbacks as defined by our law.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
John, could you tell me if... And I haven't gone through all the new ones. If we still have that statement in the ordinance that if an owner has two lots that are non-conforming because of size, that they need to bring those two lots into conformity?
I believe that's actually still in there, yes, sir.
By the way, our standard lot in Cary Beach required is 50 by 100.
I understand that.
Okay.
John, on the new structure that's engineered for the third floor, the roof will be similar to the existing roof, the same square footage. There won't be any additional square footage of the roof.
You mean as far as absolute coverage?
Surface.
Actually, it should be smaller, yes, sir.
Smaller. So that actually will, I heard Mr. Lindsay speak about the runoff and everything, and that will be
addressed. This shouldn't change runoff whatsoever on this property. They are not adding any impervious surface to this property whatsoever.
So it'd be pretty much like it's
just a third story on it.
Any other questions, John? Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone else? Or do you want to rebut?
Yes, I'd like to comment on the building inspector's presentation. He has just stated, and he restated it several times, that the supplemental district regulations don't apply because
That is for new construction. Let me read to you what the supplemental district regulations say. It says that these regulations are prerequisite to construction. That's what he's saying. New construction. Demolition, if you go over there today and look at that house, it looks like it's demolished. All the way, the siding is off of it, and the roof is off of it. But it adds the word remodeling. Just what part of remodeling doesn't the building inspector understand? This is a remodeling project. It is a remodeling project. It says it must be applied before any permit is issued. How can you interpret? There's no interpretation required of that ordinance. You just have to apply it as it's stated. What part of the word prerequisite doesn't he understand? For remodeling, I'll just emphasize remodeling. Is this not a remodeling project? Relative to our issue number one, my question is Cherry Beach going to enforce their ordinances or not? What are you allowed to get away with in this town? Do you have to know somebody? The ordinance and the North Carolina law says that the violations, if they're illegal, they go to the property. It doesn't matter how long it's been. And it states that. Relative to our issue number three, his interpretation that yard size is equivalent to setbacks doesn't give him freedom to define dimensions for yard dimensions. The new wording in the code doesn't say setbacks, it says yard size. It says the size of the yard. The definition of yard in the ordinance says it begins at the ground. It doesn't allow you to go up some second or third story or up at the moon and go across. I can go across far enough that, yeah, I'm going to meet it now. That's not allowed. It says it has to be met at the ground. If it's not met at the ground, the second part of that new wording is disqualified. And it's not allowed, no matter what you say. They're not inventing any new nonconformities. Hey, I can put it over here far enough. I still meet the rule, but what about the existing structure? It doesn't meet it at the ground. And that's what the wording says. Yard size is measured at the ground, or begins at the ground. What part of the wording beginning at the ground doesn't the building inspector get? What is their understanding? The 313 Atlantic Avenue probably doesn't have any yard dimensions. Front, rear, or the side. He says it meets it at the back. And Charlie, I think you mentioned it's just a few dimensions at the front, a few on the side, a few on the rear. On the rear, as I showed on their survey plot, it's 3 feet from the rear, not 10. The dimension on the survey plot shows the rear of the building 8.71 feet from the rear. The 3 feet I'm talking about was the structural overhang of a rear deck. That's part of the structure. That's within 3 feet. So it doesn't meet it anywhere, the existing structure. I'll just close by saying, in our presentation, we provided compelling evidence and numerous facts that support our field issues number one, number two, and number three, and that they're directly applicable to 313 Atlantic Avenue. We haven't made any assumptions. You haven't heard me say one assumption, and you haven't heard me introduce a single interpretation of the ordinance. We simply applied the actual wording of the three zoning code sections that we documented. On the other hand, the building inspector hasn't provided any evidence or stated any facts that supports his position that it's okay to measure yard wherever you want to up here in space, just so I get 5 feet on the side, or just so I get 10 back and 20 at the front. Take your pick. Find any place you want to measure. I can find a place. Yep, everybody can. His fabricated interpretation that yard size means setback dimensions is flawed. And it doesn't have any merit. It's not accurate. And most importantly, it's in direct conflict with the zoning code definition for the yard, beginning at the ground. We again thank you.
Thanks
for giving us an opportunity to present our arguments.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify this morning?
Yes.
I just want to ask the building inspector, he mentioned something about pilings. You're going to add some more pilings. What's all that about?
They're actually on the drawings that your husband came to check out, and they're available for you to view anytime you'd like to. But it shows that we're putting that the contractor's putting extra pilings in to support the part of the back end of the structure.
Outside of the current structure. I'm sorry, what's your name? Mary Kudrel.
I'd have to pull them out again, I can't remember. It's been 2 months since I looked at them.
But you have to put pilings in to your structure is already...
Hold it.
I believe there are actually 66s that are there right now, and they're replacing them with 8x8s. The footprint of the structure is not changing. No, to answer your question.
Okay, the shed back there is hopefully off in setbacks.
They are not planning on touching that shed.
Well, that shed has to go.
Ma'am, if you're going to testify, you testify. If you're going to ask him questions, you can do
The shed has to go, John.
You're talking to John. You need to direct yourself to the board.
I'll
or you're not testifying.
Okay, I'm testifying. There's a problem with the shed.
And what's the problem?
It's 3 or less feet from our line, property line. And that has to go. And to make the 20 feet setback, they're going to have to go inside the building. The building is not setting like it should.
We realize that the building is beyond the setback, so it is encroaching on the setback.
Yes,
we understand.
And they got a shed, and that's got to go because it's right in our You understand?
Yes.
What I said?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to see what you say.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I will close the testimonial portion of this hearing and enter into the discussion phase. When they ask questions, you guys can help verify. Again, you're the zoning board of your truck. I don't think that our town council or planning and zoning, when they changed the ordinance in 2008 to say that a non-conforming property, as long as you're not adding to that non-conformity, you can go ahead and add on to the property. I'm sure that they were thinking about properties like mine that are non-conforming, only two stories, and property like this one we're talking about, and property like yours that we're talking about, and realize that in order for people to get benefits from their property, they may be able to go up to that 35-foot limit. Correct me if I'm wrong in the assumption that our town council is planning and zoning, we're showing maybe some human compassion that somebody can go up another story on a house, so long as it doesn't violate the setback.
As long the way we have worked it in the past, as long as it is the work that you are doing, and on the property is within the proper confines of what's acceptable. In other words, you're not extending it to an area you shouldn't. This property is not non-conforming due to use. It's non-conforming due to structure and
something. Right.
Okay. And not necessarily size, but unless you're calling width and depth and so on. So from that standpoint, it's non-conforming. Just look at your... I hate going over this at the last minute, you know, when you have to go through all the changes that were gone on the ordinance. But Section 19.321, where it says no permit shall be issued, we're talking about not the reduction. Yeah, 321.5, prerequisite for construction.
Demolition.
That's regardless, if it's non-conforming, really, from the standpoint of size, and if it cannot be authenticated that you got 65% permeability there, it's right there. He's right on that respect. It says no permit would be issued. What can I say?
That's, yeah, but those structures don't get to be 65% of lot exceeding therefrom. Those structures located in the B1 district and the established fire district of the town.
They're excused.
They're excused.
Right.
That's the only thing that I see here that could be a problem. I don't see a problem with the building of a third structure because it does come within the setback. And even though Mr. Lindsay has pretty much told us that you can't measure from here to here and up and down, the existing structure is there. They don't have to change that. But when they add on to it, then they must be in compliance. So the third floor, which is what they're adding on to, is in compliance.
However, the 65% may not allow the permit.
It doesn't.
Okay.
According to this, it doesn't.
My interpretation. Third story is, okay. I mean, what do you think about adding the third story as long as it's not issuing the permit? Okay. Say there was 65%.
If you had the 65% permeability, then my position would be, I don't see any problem with the third story as long as you stay within the weight cost. But if you don't have that 65%, it's...
Okay. Some thoughts from the rest of the group here.
First of all, I don't see where they're reducing the 65%. It wasn't there to begin with, is my understanding. So we're not changing the lot or the yard areas as they are today.
In fact, I heard John say they're improving it. They're taking up some concrete. John, you know about how much they're taking up?
I'm not sure. I'm really not.
But they are improving the situation from what it was, so that... That service, verbal services, is approved.
I don't want that to be an incorrect statement. I do not know that for sure, that they're taking some out and not adding it back into. If they're trying to add more concrete back, I will not be allowing it. I can't remember exactly what it shows on the plans. So okay. I just wanted to put that out there.
Okay. We're not adding any more concrete. No, there's a chance we are taking up some concrete.
Yes, there is.
I guess given that, my interpretation and my understanding, we're not changing the use of the property.
Nope.
It is considered, in my opinion, a non-conforming lot. The house has been there since 1985-86. The lot was sold. It was divided, which made it a non-conforming lot. I just don't see anything in here that would prohibit the third floor. They're not encroaching on any setbacks with that third level.
Okay. Mr. Humphries, I should just make a clarification. May I come back up?
We've closed the testimonial part of it. We understand, you know, what you said. We understand where the measurements are coming from your aspect.
But how could you discount the definition of where yard measurement is required to be measured?
We're not discounting a definition of the word yard.
That's part of the zoning code.
We're not discounting that, but we're taking what yard is, and yard goes from the street to the building, and then up. Okay? That's where yard is. We can't have them tear down a wall and move that wall back because it is an existing structure.
Is Cary Beach going to enforce its code or not? Is it going to allow...
Mr. Lindsay, that is what we are here for. That is what we are going to discuss.
I just haven't heard that discussion.
Well, we are discussing. I've asked Charlie questions. Tony's asked questions. We're all going to ask questions of each other and interpretation and read the ordinance as we're going through. So we are going to enforce our ordinances as they are today.
If you apply all three parts to that new paragraph.
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
Would you please advise everyone that if they do not like the decision of this board, they have another option?
I will do that at the end of the when we do our findings of facts. Because the court wants us to find facts, and the court deals with our facts that we find, and they aren't going to listen to testimony. They're going to go over our court reporters, make sure that we did the job properly, that we went to the findings of facts, that we talked about this thing and came with a decision. They can either send it back to us, or they can overrule it. Or accept it, not accept it. They either say, yes, we did a fine job, or they send it back to us for reconsideration. That's the way the court works.
I have a problem with the issuing of this permit. You understand, Mr. Lindsay? I do have a problem with it. So does Charlie. Okay, and we will come up with reasons why, and we are finding the facts and go from there. Okay. My problem with the issuing of the permit is if the impervious footage or surface exceeds 65% of the lot, then we can't issue this permit. We don't know, but there's no testimony before the board tonight that says they are not going to exceed that 65% of the lot. As a matter of fact, there is testimony before the board now that it is in violation of that. Most likely.
Well, the problem with reading that, and your point's absolutely correct, but it doesn't deal with the situation which we have where it's already in excess of 65%, and so it's already non-conforming. Can we continue that part of the non-conformity? The implication here is no, you can't.
That's the way I'm looking at it.
As listening to some of the ordinances don't really deal very well. They deal well with conforming situations, maybe going on conforming, but they don't deal with it. It's kind of like an endless.
I believe it does when it comes to a residence, a non-conforming legal or illegal residence. I believe the ordinance does, in fact, address that. And says as long as they don't violate the setbacks any further, you can build on this residence. However, permit shall not be issued if 65%, if it exceeds 65% of impervious surface. That's what I think. Now, please.
Can I just ask a separate question? I raised it before about they raised a point on page 2 about this illegal non-conforming property and illegal non-conforming property in pro-modern real estate practice as their reference, and the implication that an illegal non-conforming property continues its violation, so if it started out in violation, it continues in violation, and there's no right of illegal use. I mean, that's a legal question. It needs to be resolved. I don't think you've got any comment on that.
My comment is that is irrelevant, and I say it's irrelevant because the directive, as far as the statutes are concerned, and the ordinance that covers the Board of Adjustments, direct our attention to the statutes and to our zoning. That's it.
I mean, fine to agree with you. I still think it's a legal issue.
Well, it may be a legal issue that the realty board needs to address, because we've already asked our attorney, and our attorney says he doesn't have any. He didn't know.
Well, I mean, the one thing I might point you to is section 19.356 on non-conforming situation. It describes what a non-conforming situation is, and then, the way I look at it is if it doesn't meet that, all the things in 19.357 don't even apply. I think it raises a really good question of what does apply if 19.357 doesn't. But what it talks about is that something that when the ordinance is passed does not conform. So if you're talking about the setback ordinance, did it not conform when the ordinance was passed? And I think the answer to that is no. I mean, or did conform. As far as we know, there wasn't a structure there. If it did,
I don't know. They used to have for substandard lots. They used to have a different formula for figuring the side lots, front and the back. That was because you were dealing with lots.